Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Eddie, happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Annie. Nice to chat with you, buddy.
Thank you. I'm great. I was just telling you right as we clicked into the show that I did one of the things you want me to do, which is I updated my computer.
Really appreciate it. You are living in that Big Sur life now.
Yeah. I'm living that Big Sur life. Things don't even look the same anymore. And I was 10 minutes late. So you're welcome.
Or right on time, because it's like, what does it matter? I just did other work, and then there you were.
We get our work done one way or the other.
You're like Mary Poppins. You just float in right when Bert needs you.
That's the biggest compliment you could have ever given me. Love her so much.
Oh,
she's my favorite. That's my all-time favorite Disney movie.
Okay. Well, then I would like to ask you, how did you feel about the second one?
I thought it was cute. I like the idea of it. I wanted a few more Easter eggs. I wanted Julie Andrews, who didn't. That scene at the end with Angela, Murder, She Wrote?
Angela Lansbury.
Mrs. Potts, Angela Lansbury, was clearly a Julie Andrews spot that Julie Andrews did not say yes to.
That she was just not into.
Don't you agree?
I was shocked. Yes, because there wouldn't be a reason. Angela Lansbury wasn't in the first one, right?
No, she was not.
Right.
She was in Bed Knots and Broomsticks, which is also a classic in my life. Is it a classic to you?
Oh, I love all of those old Disney movies. All the old, like, mixed animation from the 60s, are just magical.
Magical.
What's the other one?
You're right.
Oh, I also liked whatever Disney used to play. Movies on, hold on, I can remember it in my life. Oh, it had to be Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday nights.
And I would Herbie the Love Bug.
Oh,
and it's like
when we stayed home from school, we got to watch Annette Funicello beach movies if we were sick.
Great one.
Yeah, like Beach Blanket Bingo. I mean, I need to go back and watch those now. I'm sure there's something we don't know and remember, but man, that was like if you were home sick from school, you could watch Annette Funicello beach movies and Frankie and Annette beach movies.
How did you get them?
I guess mom had the VHSs. Mrs. F. Downs must have been about that VHS life with those. She loves those movies, so that's got to be it.
Yeah, we had a lot of VHS tapes. Like, I remember what a thing it was. What a joy it was to watch a movie.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be like, all right, I'm going to Blockbuster. I'm walking through the aisles. I'm getting two, maybe. But probably one movie. I am bringing it home, hoping that the tracking works.
Oh, man. It's if you got two, that was like a big weekend. If you got
big
two.
Big weekend. It was going to rain that weekend. Yeah. You have nothing going on.
Right? That's such a Florida thing to say. And then it was going to rain. Yeah. I mean, if we got two, it probably meant there was a spend the night party happening.
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody was coming over. If it was just me and my sisters, or my sisters and cousins, it was Hairspray, and that was it. We were going to get that,
Hairspray.
Most likely.
Hairspray.
Yeah, that was the go-to. Because that's the one that we didn't own, but we really enjoyed.
And let me just say for people, there has been a redo of Hairspray. You were talking about the original one with Ricky Lake.
Yeah. Yes, the original one with Ricky Lake. Yes, I am speaking of that one.
Yeah, because exactly the new Hairspray I forget who it was. It bordered on weird.
Oh, really? Yeah, I never saw it, I guess.
Yeah, it was sort of like the Cats redo, where you're like, this already was weird, but you broke the fourth wall of weird and made it actually weird.
Oh, boy. With John Travolta, right? And John Travolta in the new one?
Yeah. That's right. Okay, we have too many open things here. We
close
have to
some tabs. Sorry.
This conversation.
We'll close that tab. The Blockbuster tab closed. Can we not close the Mary Poppins one yet, though? Because
I know that's exactly where I want to go back
Great.
To.
Great. What did you want to say?
Well, that I love that movie. So my brother, Uncle Jimmy, won Mary Poppins on VHS from a local grocery store on some like put your name in a hat 80s thing, right? Your name in a bucket. And Jimmy watched Mary Poppins every day, like all through childhood. I mean, it is the soundtrack of my home is walking through the house and just hearing it. Oh my gosh, what a magical movie. And it's
absolutely
so. Oh, and I loved the second one. Yes, it was not the first one, but the fact that they took a swing and tried to do a sequel to one of the most beloved movies in all of cinema, it's truly unbelievable.
And it's a good movie. It's not a good movie.
Oh, it's Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Yeah.
Great casting. And what's her name?
I have another tab. I'm going to write it down.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah, I did not agree with you on Lin-Manuel Miranda. I don't love his voice. I love his
singing voice.
Yeah. And I just feel like he got in that movie because he was the right guy in the right moment. I think there are more legendary people, possibly. I am pro Lin-Manuel Miranda. I am for him. I am for Hamilton. I am for In the Heights. I want him to keep creating things. I did not love him in that one role.
You would have been looking more for a Hugh Jackman type where unquestionably the most unbelievable Broadway-ish voice.
That's it. That's
because Lin-Manuel Miranda is primarily, and he would say this, a rapper who has been able to sing well enough to be in his own shows.
This is right.
But he's a gifted freestyle artist. I mean, he's just like,
I wish I'd have seen that freestyle show he did on Broadway, but I never saw it. Where it was a whole different documentary about it. Oh, really? Can I watch it?
Oh, yes. I don't know where it is. I will find it for you, but Freestyle Love Supreme.
That's what it's called, Freestyle Love Supreme. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, and there's a whole documentary that just shows you. And I mean, they're insane. So yes, I understand. He was the perfect person just in the moment to do it.
Emily Blunt was perfect.
Yeah. I thought she was great. Yeah. Had that perfect like charm, but also a little snark where you were always a little afraid of Mary Poppins, but in a way that you weren't afraid at all.
That's right.
You didn't want to sass her.
The part that blew my mind that is very modern for us today because of on Sunday night this happened. Mm-hmm. Dick Van Dyke in the new Mary Poppins. He is 90 something years old and was just honored Sunday night by the Kennedy Center Awards.
Yes. Can we watch that?
A legend. He might be the legend. Like, can we watch it? Yeah, I think so. I watched it Sunday night. But I bet you can watch it on TV.
Yeah, I didn't even know what's happening until way after. He is absolutely, I mean, his career. I mean, Dick Van Dyke Show, Mary Poppins, he's had an incredibly crazy long career and is kind of doing great.
Do you want to guess how old he is? He's in his 90s.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, at that point, it barely matters, but I'll just shoot 95 because that's
right.
Nice average.
Nailed it. You nailed it. That's what I wanted for you.
And he's walking. He's walking, right?
Oh, he's still, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, unbelievable.
Oh
unbelievable,
my gosh,
maybe.
That guy.
I mean, he's a legend. I mean, he's in Bye Bye Birdie. Do you remember he's in Bye Bye Birdie?
Wow.
Yes.
Good on him. What a life.
What a life. Okay, what an absolute life.
This is macabre, but do you have an age where you're like, I'd love to make it to, like, in my mind, 95 seems... I don't know how far over it is the mark, but there's a point where you're like, well, I never thought this would happen because whoever thinks you're going to make it to 95. I don't have a number because I don't want to say it and put it in the ether, but at 95,
but Andy,
you got to just be
it.
Like, but you say your number because I don't want to jinx myself. But you know what I mean? At 95, you got to just be like, I mean, this is it.
Yeah.
I am so happy. I guess, I don't know.
Yes, I agree with you. I think 95 years old is a very interesting, I mean, 95 right now, anyone that's 90 to 110 right now has probably been alive for the greatest shift in culture there will ever be because of technology.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because when he was born, you can do fast math or I can just look at his. When he was born in...
I cannot do fast math.
1925. People had telephones. People had newspapers, but I promise they didn't have iPhones with Twitter. And now the guy's on Instagram, you know? So I can't imagine someone who has lived through a technological change to the degree that he has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even just you and I, being children of the 80s, have lived through, I mean, we are the last group that wasn't native tech growing up.
Right. Like, yes.
I can't imagine being that age and having not had, I mean, it was, people did not have a television in their home.
Right.
People did not have, it was a single party line. Maybe you had one. I mean, my grandmother, right. Maybe I've shared this with you before, but my grandmother, who has passed away, but she would have been deep into her 90s at this point. Her first phone was, you would pick it up and everybody in the whole street shared a single line. So you'd pick it up and if you heard somebody, you hung up. But her phone number was 5.
Like, her phone number was 5?
Yeah,
Eddie, because it would only... You for sure never told me that.
Yeah, because you could only make local calls. So you were in an area and she was in an area outside of like Pitt, hold on, I forget, Pittsburgh, something like that. And in the community, they would install and she was 5. And that was the phone number. That was, and there was, it was a party line. It would be your whole community on a phone.
Her phone number was 5. That's unbelievable.
I know. Right.
That's got to be very similar to Dick Van Dyke's growing up life.
Got to be. Oh, wow. It's like the Carousel of Progress at Disney.
That's it. That's Dick Van Dyke is the Carousel of Progress at Disney.
Okay. All right. Do you know the Carousel of Progress really well, right?
Really well, but I know it. I know it. I like it.
It's my favorite ride.
It's your favorite ride?
Yeah, I love it.
Why?
I love the song. It reminds me of being little in Disney. It's one of the old Disney rides. Like every Disney ride over time, understandably, gets updated and changed because they have to.
That's part of the gig.
This they don't touch. It is just the old Carousel of Progress. And so it has this deeply nostalgic, like, oh, I remember sitting here as a kid and the dog and it's a great big beautiful tomorrow. you know this song as a kid?
Yeah, of course.
But let's see. Oh, the voice of the dad on that was the same voice as Gene. Forget his last name. But the voice
of... I want you to, though. Who?
Well, you know the voice because if you've seen A Christmas Story, you know the narrator of The Christmas Story?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, of course.
It's the same voice.
This is the Disney way, though, isn't it? That it is. When someone is in one thing, especially in the 50s and 60s, they are everything. They're in absolutely everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like the old Yeller kid was in 1,000 movies as a kid.
Right. There's just a stable of studio players
that come in.
And
that's right.
The whatever brothers that wrote the Mary Poppins music, they wrote everything, including the Carousel of Progress song that I just sang. And
of
the Tiki Tiki Room
did.
Song.
Oh, they did write the Tiki Tiki Room song.
They wrote it. They were the Disney.
What are their names? The Sheldon brother. Hold on, I'm gonna look. I feel like it starts with an S.
No, I want to do. It is S. I have watched a documentary on them on Disney Plus. It is not Sheldon, but it does start with an S.
It's your brain versus my ability to type this into my phone.
God, I want
for
this bad.
Disney.
I feel like I see a double letter in there.
Yeah, okay. Someone's yelling it at us.
I know. I want this more than I want.
I know. Are you ready for me to tell you?
Yeah, go.
Sherman. Sherman Brothers. I know. We were so close.
Sherman Brothers. No
How did
double
that
letter,
movie, that Saving Mr. Banks, make you feel?
Well, I loved it.
I loved it. For people who don't know, it's the story of... It's Emma... Watson? No.
No. Thompson.
Emma Thompson.
Emma Watson was Hermione and Tom Hanks.
Thank you. Yes. Emma Thompson is playing P.T. Travers, who wrote Mary Poppins. Tom Hanks is Walt Disney. And this is the story of him buying the book from her and turning it into a movie kind of against her will. And they interact with the Sherman Brothers a lot. It's one of my top favorite movies because of how top. Though Dick Van Dyke wasn't in that movie, now was he?
No, and he didn't make a cameo in it. Hold on, P.L. Travers.
Did I say P.T.? P.T. Barnum, yeah, P.L. Travers. Thank you. You're right.
P.T. Cruiser. You can't be helped. It's understandable.
You can't be helped. How many people have wanted to say that to me over the years, Eddie? That's the question.
Yes, you so P.L. Travers, no, he was not in that. But I love those behind-the-scenes stories. But also... how that movie went, and I know that there is probably some element of many elements of storytelling in it,
right.
But juxtaposing going into P.L. Travers' childhood and her dad in her childhood, who's played by Colin, whatever.
Yeah.
Handsome Firth? Nope.
Nope.
Hanks? No. I love this game. I don't
we
even
are,
care.
This is as real as a friendship gets, Colin. Where you just keep opening tabs and getting first names, but not last names.
Well, and it's also like it's like our age too. You can't get a name right.
Right. Hold on. I'm getting there. Colin Farrell. Yeah.
But her dad plays, you know, Colin Farrell, and looking at how her writing of Mary Poppins was in response to her childhood. And so the really beautiful story of why she wrote
it's
Mary Poppins to fill her soul, a part of her soul that was very empty, but then why she would also hold it and guard it so closely. But then that scene, oh, the payoff. It's a classic Tom Hanks thing when she's finally watching the movie and she just disappears in it.
Yes. Yes.
And do you know the story of the Feed the Birds lady?
No. Tell me everything.
Okay. I love this stuff. I will, a good night if I can't sleep is I'm going to watch one of these movies and IMDb into a wormhole of facts about the movie. This is one that I love. So Walt had the woman that played the woman on the steps of St. Paul, the bird woman, like the bird lady.
Of course.
In
Feed
the Birds.
Of course.
Was apparently a famous actress back in the day, like vaudeville, very famous actress, and had made her way over time into a nursing home facility. And Walt just loved her and knew she was the right person for this, and ended up doing something like extraordinary to get her basically out, to release her from the nursing facility so that he could have this woman, because he knew that this was like the penultimate scene in Disney. It was his favorite song of any song that the Sherman Brothers ever wrote.
His favorite song was Feed the Birds, of the songs they ever wrote.
Yeah, this song that apparently really hit him at his core. And his story, you would understand, like, he has a crazy story.
Yeah.
But so, he got her out, and it was his favorite actress, and he would like drive her to and from the nursing home just so she could be in the movie. It was just like this really beautiful, like,
Eddie.
He needed this. Yeah. And so now you watch it and you're like, well, it was already the most magical movie ever. And then there's just layers and layers.
I had no idea. I want to know everything like that behind the scenes of Mary Poppins. I want all of that every time.
Did you know that Julie Andrews shot Sound of Music and was unknown? They barely cast her in Sound of Music.
Yeah.
They cast her in Sound of Music, and while it's being edited and released, she goes and shoots her second film, which was Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins comes out before Sound of Music still. So Mary Poppins comes out. And so by the time Sound of Music comes out, everybody thinks it's Julie Andrews' second movie. And Sound of Music is what it is, because Julie Andrews was the biggest star in the world, even though when she shot Sound of Music, she was a complete nobody. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, isn't that magic?
Yes.
I love that stuff.
I'm sure you know this answer. Why wasn't she in the new Mary Poppins Returns? What was her hard stand on that? Do you know?
She had a really gracious, she gave a couple of answers about it. But one, I think she had said things like, well, first of all, you know, she can't sing anymore.
She can't sing, I know.
And then she has gently said in interviews like with Oprah and stuff that has really broken her spirit. And she's like, for someone so known for her voice, it is hard for her to not have a voice.
Right.
I think there was that. And she also didn't want to upstage it. She said she didn't want to upstage, like, that it's hard enough to have. You can only have one Mary Poppins at a time in a movie. And whatever. I don't know what of that is true. But it would have been nice to see her in it.
But Dick Van Dyke, around forever. Oh. He's going to live forever.
Oh, he's the best.
He's going to live forever.
I mean,
yeah. I would love to talk with him. What's the first thing you would ask him? If you had to ask him a question about a movie he'd been in, like you're doing a Between Two Ferns kind of interview, but it's not cheesy. It's totally appropriate.
Not Between Two Ferns.
But yeah, it's not Between Two Ferns. It's not Zach Galifianakis' show that's just like, was it cool to be in Mary Poppins? Yeah. But it's more like, what would you really ask him?
I would ask him.
What scene?
I know exactly what I would ask.
I know you do.
Generally as a canon, he has, from Dick Van Dyke's show, even through to his more dramatic roles, He has chosen to play every character with a very positive internal fire. Like every single one of his characters, even when it's serious, he's still really, really happy.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what the choice was to do that and why spend a whole career basically emanating positivity even when the role didn't demand that you do it. There's something about like he sees his role as an actor in the world as something bigger, I think, than he's let on in the past. Like there's some value add to his life that I don't think he has shared, but it's always just, and he's game, right? Any little kid that comes up to him realizes it's Bert, he's game. He will do the thing. He's never been too cool for school.
Right.
To do that for a whole career is a choice, because you know you can't be that happy.
Really interesting.
What would you ask him?
Oh, just is it profound? Nope. I want him to tell me start to finish about the scene in Mary Poppins where they're laughing and it makes them all float and have tea on the ceiling. I want to know how that happened. I want to know how he flipped around. I want to know what it felt like. I want to know what they really talked about that made him laugh that hard. And then do you recall, I'm sorry to spoil this for anybody listening, but do you recall that as that scene ends, the way they get off, they have to think about sad things to float down, which this is probably explaining my entire life of why I've avoided sad things, is that laughing makes you float to a tea party and crying makes you go down to the ground. It has been built in me forever. But I just would love for him to do, I wonder if there's like a director's cut of Mary Poppins, but I would love for him to talk me through that entire scene.
That is a great one, because you can't fake laugh.
Not
really.
For that
they
long.
They were really chuckling about something up there.
Right.
There's a couple of little but like generally I have a feeling that the guy that was playing the uncle was saying some raunch stuff into Dick Van Dyke's.
Oh, no way. Don't you dare say that. They never said things of that nature.
Oh, yes.
Purity.
Yes.
Purity.
Oh, yeah. But they were doing that. But then also, how were they floating around? Because they
floating around?
Because now they'll just toss Chris Pratt up in the air and then they just paint out all the wires later. It's all, that's it. He was floating.
Right.
They can't do that now.
No.
Or they couldn't do that then, I mean.
Right. So how?
It's a great specific scene.
So I want him. Yeah, I want him to talk me through that scene. I want him to tell me, like, because remember, he does a lot of flipping upside down. Mm-hmm. Also, that old guy, the uncle. Listen, let's go down that path for a minute, because let's open his tab, because he's also the guy from Babes in Toyland.
Shut it. He totally is.
Right? He's in a bazillion things before. I mean, he's a Dick Van Dyke 20 years earlier.
Oh, great one.
What's his name? I don't know. Hold on. Mary Poppins' uncle. How did people enjoy conversation before they could Google things? Uncle Albert is his name on the show. Uncle Albert.
Yeah.
Ed Wynn is his name. E-D.
Ed Wynn.
W-Y-N-N.
Wow. Good one.
Yeah.
It's the same with the Disney voices. Because, you know, like people know this one, but like the guy that did the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. I don't know what you're about to say.
Well, I mean, is everywhere in Disney movies.
Okay.
So like the snake in the Jungle Book. The snake where the eyes get him all entranced, get Mowgli all like dizzy.
Yeah.
He's that voice. It's the same voice. Once you start to hear the Winnie the Pooh voice.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is pretty judgmental and awful, but can I just ask you?
Yeah, of course.
There's a weird cutoff age with being pretty into the Winnie the Pooh.
I don't think there's a weird cutoff age. I think there's a very appropriate cutoff age of Winnie the Poohing.
Because like, yeah. Like I'll see people and adults with like Winnie the Pooh sweatshirts on.
Does that feel different than a Mickey sweatshirt to you?
Somehow, yes.
Okay,
and that is the exact point that I was driving towards. I see someone with a cool Mickey shirt on. I'm like, I'm not going to do it, but I get it. I see someone with an
I'm not going to do it, but I get it. Do you feel that way in Gainesville or do you feel that way in Orlando? Like, do you feel that way if you see someone in Boise? That's okay with you? A Mickey shirt in Boise is fine?
I think an adult generally with a Mickey shirt on is like, it's not my favorite, but it's not like the
worst. But I get it. Yeah, that's right.
I can see how you could make that leap a couple steps in, especially if it's like a cool one or kind of like a, like maybe Steamboat Willie Mickey or something like I get what you're doing. But to me, and I'm on thin ice here because I realize I'm alienating the base, but there are people.
I don't know what size our Winnie the Pooh base is. So we're about to learn.
We are about to light this junk up. There's just a little bit to me where it's like, if you're wearing like a gray sweatshirt with like the embroidered Winnie the Pooh cast on the front.
Okay. Like, yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, there, like, let's say here's what I actually wonder if there's a bell curve here and but an opposite bell curve. What's an opposite bell curve? How do you turn a bell curve upside down? Because to me, zero to something and then and 0 to 11, fine. And then there's a pretty deep upside down bell curve, like nah, 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 nah. And then it comes back again. It comes back again, Eddie. When you're 64, I don't know. I'm throwing out a number. But once you're there, you better embroider whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. There's a point where I am starting my morning with a cold piece of cake and a cup of coffee. I'm wearing whatever I want. I don't care. And I'm not saying you've quit on life. I'm saying you don't need to do the thing anymore.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's
like right now, I generally need to kind of try to look somewhat presentable. There's just a point where it's like, no. No, it's going to be a t-shirt with some different rap group on it every single day. Mm. Yeah, some version of athleisure wear pants, sandals, and that's it. That's what I'm wearing.
Right, right. Okay, so, yeah.
I'm turning into a real dream boat.
So that is, you're turning into a what?
A real dream boat in my late 60s.
Oh, man. Me too. I can't wait. But then the thing is, if we Dick Van Dyke this life, that gives us an actual third of our lives that we get to live like that. You recognize this.
Right. I do.
We are currently most likely in the second third of our life. Phew. If everything goes well, which I hope it does.
Which I'll take it. I'm very happy in this whole thing.
Yeah, this middle third's been great. But yeah, you better believe I'm Mickey, Minnie, Winnie embroidering to the tooth by the time I'm in my 70s.
Especially if I'm cold all the time and I took all the grandkids to Disney and I think to myself, you know what? I just want a nice pullover, one size too big, that's just going to be very comfortable. And you know what? I've got enough money set aside from being pretty good with investments.
Yep.
I'm going to spring for the embroidered version.
Yeah. I 100%. Whatever it's called, someone will tell us. Our Winnie the Pooh base will tell us what it is called to do an upside down bell curve. But whatever it is, that's who can wear Winnie the Pooh. Now, before we end this show that I cannot believe we've done an entire show on, what is the age for like a Moana? Similar?
Oh, see, no. See, Frozen? Moana.
Do what you want.
I don't feel as strongly about this. I don't know why. I don't think they've done the test of time. Okay. Like, because Frozen 2, you might still be pumped about it. I mean, Moana, it's just a great cultural moment for Disney. And, you know, it really pushed the trend of what a Disney princess is defined as.
Sure.
Do they even need to be a princess? Like, what does it mean? I mean, there was a lot of culturally significant things about Moana. Lin-Manuel Miranda co-wrote a bunch of the music. Like, there's a lot about Moana.
Yeah.
So I could get, as an adult, still riding with a Moana t-shirt. Though I'm going to say, generally, I don't really know what Disney shirt as an adult. I'm trying to think of, I have the entire Disney catalog of clothing. What shirt do I wear to go to Publix today?
Mm.
If I can wear any of them. I can't fathom one.
Which I got to give you the heads up. I had a Publix sub for dinner last night and I'm not even on vacation. Booty. It was awesome.
Can I just get a quick, what'd you get?
Got me an ultimate turkey, ham, roast beef.
Roast beef.
It was great.
What do your lettuce? What do you do? Lettuce?
Lettuce, pickle? Tomato, pickles, raw onion. They're raw onion for some reason. That's the only spot I do that. A little bit of mayonnaise,
bingo.
Oil, vinegar, oregano, salt, pepper.
Whoa. That's a nice
order.
I
go hard. I go hard on Publix sub, but I almost texted you from the place and I was like, nah, I'll tell him tomorrow.
Yeah. We got to have something. We got to have something to talk about.
We had to. Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about. Don't worry about anything on our list. We just did a full half hour pretty much on Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. And Disney stuff. And how when I see someone who's 35 and they've got a little piglet statue on their desk, a little figurine.
Oh, boy.
I cringe.
Oh, wow. That's we are going to get some emails. We're going to get some emails from the people who don't live in the bell curve.
First of all, you're not a bad person. I want you to know that I'm the bad person in this scenario. I'm the person. You're the person that's enjoying a very wholesome Disney character, and good on you. I'm the person judging. And
yeah,
that's
fine, though.
That is something that I want to be sorry about.
Yes. Well, that's something I want to be sorry about.
I hope that I get there at some point.
Oh, my gosh. Don't do it today, though. Yeah, wow. Well, okay. I think we've done it. Yeah, I think we have too. But I want us to. I want people to talk to me this whole week as we're getting ready for tour. I want people to talk to me about 60s Disney stuff because that will feel so good for my heart. Do you agree?
I do think. Oh yeah, give us the old Disney movies, all the screenshots of the one.
Yeah, give us your thoughts.
Them.
What'd you love?
Yeah. And for those seeing Annie on tour, if you happen to have a Disney sweatshirt or
a Disney t-shirt,
you wear that and tag us both in it because yes. I want you to walk on stage very pumped up. Look out, house lights come up a little bit, and you see a strange collection of,
yes.
I mean, really a lot of Disney stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Somebody wearing mini ears?
That's what I'm hoping.
What are you doing?
My God.
You're an adult. What are you doing?
But and they're like, we're doing exactly what Eddie told us to do, which is what's going to happen.
And you do not get any discount. Merch is full price. You get nothing. But I will see it, and
joy.
I will be so pumped.
Joy from us. Okay, Eddie, well, let's do this again for Friday. For everybody to know, it's going to be a fake Friday because we're going on tour. We can talk about tour
Friday
next weekend.
Yeah, and just so everyone knows, we haven't really recorded a Friday show in a long time. We got a lot.
We don't do them on Friday mornings very often, if ever.
No, that was early quarantine. But we got a lot to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about on Friday because we got through all the stuff today that we definitely had planned for today.
Yeah, we didn't talk about ginger ale.
Oh, it's on the list. Let's start there on Friday.
Yeah, let's really do that.
Okay, perfect. All right, friends. Yeah, y'all have a great week. Go wash your hands, and we'll see you back here on Friday.
TTFN. Ta-da for now. That's what they say.
That's what Winnie says.
Tigger. No, it's Tigger.
Oh, it's Tigger.
TTFN. Ta-da for now. Oh, my God.